people had been fearful of the Alcas, and missionaries had been praying that God would somehow open a door so that the gospel might be taken to them.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about Operation Alca. I've told you the stories of five men, Jim Elliot, Pete Fleming, Ed McCulley, Roger Udarian, and Nate Saint. These five men were missionaries in eastern Ecuador, all of them with plenty of work to do, but all of them concerned about a work which had never been done, the taking of the gospel to a people called Aucas, A-U-C-A, people about which very little was known except that they were Stone Age people. They killed strangers. They didn't wear any clothes. For years, people had been fearful of the Aucas, and missionaries had been praying that God would somehow open a door so that the gospel might be taken to them. Their territory covered about 12,000 square miles, so it was assumed that the Aucas were a very large tribe. Gonzalo Pizarro had explored their area in 1541. Jesuits had gone in there in the 1600s, but not very much had been learned about them, and no one else had gone in there from the outside, so far as we know, until the 19th century, when the demand for rubber sent people into there. In 1874, a Jesuit missionary went down the Curaray River and established a station in what would now be called Alca territory. It was his main job to protect the Indians from the white men, not the white men from the Indians. Then there was a colonist by the name of Sevilla, Señor Sevilla, a man of this century who lived on the edge of Alca territory. Probably some of the rumors that came out about the Alcas came through Señor Sevilla. He said they were killers. He said they killed to protect their land, sometimes to rob. And at one time, he had left word with the Quechua Indians who lived closest to the Alca territory that if they ever found any Alca women, they should capture them and bring them to his hacienda. One day, there were three Alca girls, probably teenage girls, who appeared in Quechua territory, and they were captured and taken to Señor Sevilla's hacienda, and they became slaves there. One day, when Jim Elliot was traveling in the jungle, he visited Señor Sevilla's hacienda, learned that he had three Alca women working there, and he talked to one of those women. Her name was Dayuma. He found that Dayuma spoke Quechua very well by that time. She had been for a number of years on the hacienda, but she did still remember some of her own Alca language. Jim relayed the information of Dayuma's presence to Nate Saint, the pilot, and Nate relayed that to his sister Rachel, who was a missionary in Peru at the time with Wycliffe Bible Translators. But it was her prayer that God would send her someday to a tribe that had never been reached by any other missionary. When she heard about the Aucas, she was convinced that that was her tribe, that God was going to send her there. One day in 1953, the entire station on which Jim and Ed and Pete had been working was completely wiped out by a flood. All five of the buildings went down the Amazon River. It was following that flood that Jim and Ed and Pete made a trip down the Bobonasa River, trying to decide whether they should change the station from Shandia to another one. It was decided that a station needed to be opened in Puyupungu, where Atanasio, a very powerful Quechua man who had about 15 children and wanted a school, asked that a mission station be opened. This was sufficient to persuade Jim that it was time for him to marry me. We had been engaged at that point for nearly 9 months. We had been in love for a good many more years. And so it was a tremendous relief to me when Jim said, I think it's time for us to get married so that we can go down and open up a station in Puyupungu. So it was in October of 1953 that he and I were married in the city of Quito. We went to Panama and Costa Rica for our honeymoon, and then went immediately to Puyupungu, traveling from the little town of Puyo down the Puyo River to the mouth of the Puyo River where it empties into the Great Pastaza. We set up a tent there, that was our honeymoon cottage, for 5 months, and Ed McCauley and Pete Fleming carried on the work in Shandia, working on the language and building a better airstrip. As Pete watched the McCauleys become oriented in the work, he began to think more specifically about his own future, and he thought about his fiancée, Olive Ainslie, a slim and beautiful girl with dark eyebrows in striking contrast to her lighter hair and her blue eyes, and they became engaged by mail while he was still in the jungle. With typical candor, this quiet, studious man, Pete, wondered if there might be any conflict between his coming marriage and his call to the Alca Indians. Last night, Nate and I talked a long time about the Alca problem, he wrote. Strangely enough, I do not feel my coming marriage will prohibit me from being eligible to help in efforts to reach them. I feel that if pushed to it, Olive would rather have me die after we had lived together than to indefinitely postpone our wedding on the possibility that something fatal might happen. Our life has become one, and I do not feel that God will separate us in our discernment of the will of God. In June 1954, Pete felt free to return to the United States to marry Olive. After he left, Jim and I moved back to Shandia with Ed and Mary Lou McCauley. Puyupungu having been established as an outstation, we arranged for future visitation and teaching sessions. Shandia, with a school, medical clinic, and small store, we considered our permanent base of operation. Well, as you can see, Pete was already thinking about being a missionary to the Aucas, as were Jim and Ed, if God should open a door. This was the great prayer. And one day, after the McCauleys had moved to another station closer to Alca territory called Arahuno, he and Nate went on a survey trip over what was called Alca territory. This is what Nate wrote about that trip. We followed the Nuxinho east, but flying the north side this time, we were able to scan a 6 or 8 mile swath. About 50 miles east of Ed's place, out over the middle of nowhere, we turned due north toward Coca on the Rio Napo. I'd been eyeing a blemish, barely discernible in the jungle, maybe 5 miles away. Ed couldn't make it out, but we decided to fly that way for just a couple of minutes, and if we didn't turn up something more concrete, we'd beat it for home. The blemish grew into a well-defined pockmark, and then into a good-sized clearing covered with well-cleaned manioc. This was it. We'd been cruising very slowly, and our fuel consumption was getting low, but we could still hang around for 15 minutes without cutting into the reserve. So we hung around. All told, we must have seen about 15 clearings and a few houses. It was an exciting time, a time we'd waited for. Those clearings were Alca clearings. There was no question about it. You can imagine the excitement that Jim and I felt when Nate flew into our station shortly after and said, "We've found the Aucas. We know where they are. How about if we start dropping gifts to them?" It was Nate's great dream that the little airplane would be the secret to contacting a primitive tribe, and perhaps by the dropping of gifts, persuade those people that the foreigners were not hostile. He flew again over Alca territory on September 29th, 1955, with Pete en route to a place called Villano, and he found Alca houses only 15 minutes flying from Ed McCauley's station in Shandia. Was it a coincidence? after so much fruitless searching, that twice in 2 weeks he would find alka houses, inhabited alka houses. There had been a number of occasions earlier when Nate had flown over their territory and found abandoned houses, no smoke coming through the roofs, weeds growing around the yard, no plantations nearby, and no people. This time, there was smoke coming through the roofs, there were plantations, there were people, naked people. There was no question but what they were alkas. And so Jim made the 4-hour walk one day from our station in Shandia over to Señor Sevilla's hacienda. He sat down with Dayuma, the alka girl, and his little notebook and got her to repeat some phrases for him, such as, "Come, come, we are your friends. We are not killers. We are not people eaters. We are the white men, your friends." And so he did the best he could to write down what Dayuma told him, and then the next time that he was going to fly with Nate Saint, the idea was that Nate would rig up a loudspeaker and Jim and Ed would take turns shouting these alka phrases, what they hoped were alka phrases. And so you can see that threads of the will of God being brought together in the lives of these five men from such different backgrounds. Jim from Portland, Oregon, Pete from Seattle, Washington, Ed McCulley from Milwaukee, Rod Udarian from Montana, and Nate Saint from Philadelphia. Five men engaged together in something which was a top secret operation called Operation Alka. Remember that every experience, if offered up to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.